Morning, everyone. It is Monday, December 5, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and I hope you had a fantastic weekend. What a weekend it was, and we'll certainly break it all down with what we saw yesterday morning as the Socceroos did the country. Proud to say the least, went down fighting 2-1 against Argentina. The Aussies won the cricket yesterday, 164 runs. Loz is off today. We'll be back tomorrow. So we brought in the big guns, the great Matt Burke. Burkey, morning to you, mate.
Oh, good morning, boys. Good morning. Wasn't it a weekend of sport? I mean, you talk about sitting up on the couch and just watching it all unfold. The cricket, I watched the golf yesterday. Adam Scott, unfortunately, capitulated on 17, double bogey. Adrian Maronk winning it in style and on that putt on 18. Ashley Buhai wins the British Open and the Australian Open, which is incredible. Great concept too, when they play the men and the women at the same time. Obviously, there's different tee boxes, but great to see them working the course as much as the men do and doing some good scores as well. Grace Kim just fell short, double bogeyed on 18. Bad finish for her, but lots of sport happening.
Yeah, he was impressive. Maronk, wasn't he? Morning to you, pup. You're back.
Morning,
good to have
boys.
You back, mate.
Yeah, morning to our listeners. Yeah, nice to be back, Mido. Nice weekend. And yeah, enjoyed. I got to say, I enjoyed the cricket. Marnus Labuschagne, my goodness. Loz asked if he was in good nick. I think that question's been answered. Unbelievable. Him and Steve Smith, unbelievable form. Nathan Lyon, exceptional. West Indies did better than I expected, to be honest. I think that wicket was an absolute belter, but they did better than I expected, certainly with the bat. But yeah, well done to Australia on a good test win. And hopefully Paddy Cummins' quad is not too bad. That was a little strange seeing him.
What was he doing out there?
Yeah, I don't know. If he wasn't going to bowl, he shouldn't have been on the field.
Didn't bowl the whole second innings.
Yeah, it was strange.
And there was that when he was chasing a ball there towards the boundary where he couldn't extend.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing, it probably
bizarre.
Him going out and fielding makes obviously a lot more risk in preparation for this second test match. If he wanted to play the second test, he should have just, like, if he wasn't captain, he's not on the field. So I understand, you know, he's got a second role to play, but surely being fit for the second test match is more important than.
Isn't that why you have a vice captain?
Yeah,
in the book.
Yeah, no disrespect. I think Australia was always going to win that test match, whether Pat Cummins was out on the field or not. So I don't know why they let him go on the field. I think they should have just said, listen, sit here, ice it for as long as you need to ice it, start your rehab, and get ready to play the second test match.
Is that because he's a young captain? Like he wants to be. You know, maybe. You're a young bloke, you want to be involved in everything.
Yeah, maybe. But that's where I think you need a strong coach to be able to say, skipper, I understand why. I understand you want to get out there, but let's take ourselves out of the environment and look from a distance.
Take a seat.
We're going to win this test match. Steve Smith knows what he's doing. He's our vice-captain. You can't. If Paddy could bowl, different story. But the fact he couldn't bowl, then if he was going to go on the field, he had to go to sleep. So he didn't have to run at all.
Correct.
Like, the fact he's at mid-off, mid-on, chasing the ball, he's only doing more damage.
Stopping it.
I think he struggles for the second test. Now, I know he's come out and said, oh, it's just a slight strain and I'll be okay, mate, but you're sprinting into bowl. He's got to be able to bowl 30 overs.
If you're ripping in like that, no chance.
We
saw that one, as you said, when he chased to the boundary and he sort of had to bend down. There was another one where he thought he was in the Football World Cup and he sort of stopped it with his foot. It's like, mate, you are just, you're right. You put your hand up. That's why you got a 12th man.
Yeah, I was surprised that Andrew McDonald didn't say, Skip, I understand you're keen and you want to get out there and captain, but for the game situation, who they were playing, where things were at, I think he should have stayed off the field to give himself every chance to be right for the second test. But, at the end of the day, it's his call. It'll be a hell of an effort if he does pull up fit for the second test.
We got some fun this morning, fellas. England play Senegal in the round of 16 at the World Cup, kicking off in 20 minutes' time. The market with Tab has England $1.58. This is the 90-minute market. Senegal $6. So England pronounced favourites. The draw is $3.90 to qualify. So after extra time penalties or in the 90 minutes, England $1.27, Senegal $3.75. But I'm looking at either England penalties or Senegal penalties, $10 and $13 respectively. You can just sense drama. It's England at a World Cup in a knockout game.
And if it goes to penalties, England aren't the best at doing the penalties. I mean, that's a lay down misere for those blokes, Harry Kane and crew, isn't it? Like, I mean,
they should be winning this.
They should be winning. We saw Mbappe scoring at will as well. And you were saying he's 23 years old. That is incredible.
Yeah.
When you've got that much time and space in amongst that highest level, and he's doing it so easily, you sit there and just go, "Yep, like you've got to sit back and clap." Like you said, like Marnus Labuschagne the other day, just sit back and clap.
Yeah, 3-1, France beat Poland this morning. So through to the quarterfinals, and we'll play the winner of England and Senegal this morning. Of course, no Sadio Mane for Senegal. Been out for the tournament, been a huge blow for them. But here they are with a chance to go through to the final eight. But what a performance it was, fellas, from the Socceroos yesterday morning. Matt Ryan, just that mistake. Gee, it was costly, wasn't it? But in the end, we had Argentina on their heels late in that game, which is incredible to think.
Well, that's the way they play out. They play from the back. They roll it out. I mean, I'm a big fan of just getting the ball down the
get
other
it
end.
Out of there.
Yeah, and I remember watching that. I remember sitting on a Friday night a couple of years ago, and I was watching the rugby league, and I was watching. I think it was Freddie Fittler said something like, "You can't score from your own 30," and I thought that is so true. Like, you've got to be down the other end of the pitch, and when we look at the Socceroos and the Matildas as well, do their stuff, and they play out from the back, and it just seems like there's a bit of pressure, and you're playing Argentina. Who were pressing as well, and you could see our boys, and I mean the skill level. You could certainly see the difference in skill level that one touch, but get it down the other end. You can't score a goal from your end of the field.
Why do they in soccer or football? Why do they fluff around with it down there? Is that for ball control?
No, yeah. They...
So if you got the ball, then no matter where it is, you're safer than if you boot it up there. You'd big chance of kicking it to the opposition. Exactly. Is that why?
Yeah. Control
it's
the
possession.
Ball.
Okay, it's possession. And some coaches are adamant in saying, like, we're going to roll it out. So you'll get the goalkeeper, and they'll roll it out, and they'll push it around, and then they might put one long after that.
Yeah.
Get it down there. And you're right. Everybody sits there on the sideline going, just kick it. Like, just
fluffing
get it
around
down the
with
other
it down
end.
There. Oh. Get it up. Like, do you plan how you're going to score your goal from your own goalkeeper? Or do you plan how you're going to score your goal? Like, I don't know how it play from the other opposition's their half.
Yeah.
Like, when do you start your prep for this is our set play for a goal? You know what I mean? Is it from your own goalie?
Well, there was a theory. I saw Graeme Arnold make a comment about it. There was a theory that, you know, by booting it consistently upfield from the goal kicks, you're giving Messi an opportunity earlier than he needs to be given one, so to get on the ball. So,
kicking it the opposite end to Messi? Messi's closer to your goalie than his own goalie.
Look, I'm just going by what I read yesterday.
By the way, how good is Messi though?
he's another level. Yeah, genius.
He is another level. When he wants to go, and you watch him. I was watching him for a period of time. I watched him in that first game against Saudi Arabia. He did nothing. He walked everywhere, and then he obviously got a rocket put up him and said, "Right, let's go." And when he goes, the speed of when he goes and the one touch when he goes. It's quite incredible. And even the guys admitted afterwards, like to say, and I think we spoke about it last week, like you have the best, you're the best spectator sometimes, and you're watching this bloke run around. And even I saw at the end of the game, you know, when they're doing the, you know, sort of the handshakes at the end of it, I could see our boys wanting
with a notepad and a pen for an autograph. Take your phone out for
just
a selfie.
Just to say good day. Exactly right.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. The blokes from the bench came across there. But it is spectacular. I mean, the skill level of those blokes is unbelievable. And I know we're going to do heroes and villains soon, and I've got a villain from the football
world. I reckon I know who it's going to be as well. I reckon I've probably got the same one. But yeah, we'll get to that this morning. We've got the $100 gift card to give away, as well as a case of the Saint and Sinner Alcoholic Kombucha for your heroes and villains this morning. 0419 767 272 on the text line. 1353 53 is the open line number, and coming up this morning we'll have Phil Buzz Rothfield, of course, after 7 o'clock. Gee, Parramatta, it's going to get interesting now as we head towards Christmas, and now that it's past November 1, a lot of these players off contract, and Parramatta seems to be the club under siege more than any other, considering you look at Souths and they've got Mitchell, Walker and Cook all off contract at the end of next year. Well, Moses and Dylan Brown, and all the whispers are They're pretty much, they're really going to struggle to keep their halves, Parramatta, beyond the end of their contracts next year. Buzz writing today in the Telegraph, the Eels have offered Mitchell Moses more than $1 million a year to stay, while the Tigers and Bulldogs have offered even more. I've heard whispers that he's going to head to the Dogs. And I know that's been out there as well in the last week or so. Dylan Brown is being chased heavily by the Dolphins, amongst others. But it seems like the Dolphins are leading contenders to get Dylan Brown as well. I mean, they've just played in the grand final. Just played in the grand final for Parramatta.
But that isn't that exactly why they're in this situation? Because they've made the grand final, they've both had pretty good years. So they're both wanting, well, ideally for them, they'll both want $1 million. Plus, Mitchell Moses probably plus.
But it sounds like they could get it still at Parramatta.
I think if they can both get those numbers at Parramatta, they'll stay.
You reckon they'll stay?
Yeah, for those numbers, I think they will. I think so. I don't think Mitchell Moses will go to the Tigers or the Dogs for 150 grand more.
Well, I think Brown in particular, he could be on the Dolph, because the Dolphins
that's exactly
still have
right. Brown's
a lot
a different,
of money to spend.
They do.
Backs.
And the other thing, I don't know if Dylan Brown will get $1 million at Para if Mitchell Moses gets it. If Dylan Brown's going to get offered 800 grand or 850 at Para and the Dolphins offer him 1.2, 1.3, you can see why he's going. That's a no-brainer. But if they both get $1 million at Para, I don't think either of them will leave. I think they'll stay and want to play together. The fact they did win the make the grand final last year, I think that'll hold them together. But I'm not sure Parramatta can afford to pay them both that amount of money, or what they think they're worth. Put it that way.
There's always the massive argument, as you said then, Clarkie. Do you go with a coin, or do you go when you're going to play finals? An early Mad Monday doesn't suit anyone.
No way.
You want to be playing all the way through to.
Well, that you don't go for. Well, again, everyone's different, but I don't think you leave the opportunity to play finals footy has to be worth more than 100 grand or 150
coin,
grand.
Absolutely,
I think if the difference is 500, like that's what I'm saying. If Dylan Brown gets offered 800 and Dolphins say we'll give you 1.3, $500,000 is a little bit different.
To kicker,
but yeah. if he's close to the number that he thinks he's worth at Parramatta. And the other thing as well, we speak about it all the time, that partnership. You know, whether it be bowling partnership, who you bat with, your halves partners. To me, playing with somebody beside you where you know their game is so important. Look at the Panthers. That's a great example. You know, look at a lot of these successful teams over a long period of time. They find a way to stay together. And I would imagine they all get together and say, well, I'm probably not going to get top dollar. I'm not going to get exactly what I'm worth. I've got to take a little hit here so I can keep my number 6, keep my number 9, keep my number 1. And for Para, I'd imagine that's what they'll be hoping, that they'll try and get as close as they can to paying these two boys what they're worth. It's not going to be the same as what they sell for individually to another club, but then they hope that loyalty and wanting to play finals footy, know each other's game, want to stick together, keeps them there.
Well, that was, in a way, that was Burton in a nutshell, wasn't it? You know, Penrith, he got offered jackpot at the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you got to
when
sit there and look after your family.
Yeah.
And Socceroos front and back pages of the papers today. Cruel World is the headline on the Telegraph. And a quote there from Graham Arnold, even though we've succeeded and been successful, I feel like we've failed. I just wanted to win so badly for the nation and the fans, making the last 16 for me wasn't enough. That's just me. Is the headline there. So back page of the Herald. Goodbye, cruel world. Messy genius and a costly error as Socceroos' run ends in agony is the headline there. And last 16, not enough for Arnold in the Australian there this morning. It's going to be interesting now with Graham Arnold because he's off contract.
Yeah.
And as coach, he says he's going to have a break before, you know, potentially entering discussions to continue on. I think we need Graham Arnold, but does he want to stay? Considering, you know, he basically, well, he did feel like he didn't have the support of Football Australia there for a period during the qualification process, particularly when we had to go and play Peru to get through.
Do the two playoffs.
So it'll be fascinating to see how this plays out, because the players clearly love playing for him. That's well, what's clear.
The option is always, who is the next person to go? Is there enough? Is there a person that will fill that void to bring something to this team? I don't know if there is at the moment. You know, I mean, and the players don't get the say in the end. It comes down to performance. But if you're talking about performance, Mate, he got them to a World Cup. And there were rumblings, what, halfway through the year about, you know, some of their performances. And then they had to go the hard way and qualify. Look, well done to him. We need to, I think everyone needs to sit back for a second and take some time to look at the big scheme of things, because where we sit, you'd nearly call ourselves a tier two nation in that footballing sense compared to, you know, what we're looking at now. Yeah. France, England, Argentina, Brazil, you know, Portugal. Like, are we up with them? No. But if we can bat above our weight,
we did brilliant.
Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding.
I reckon we did. I reckon we should unreal. Be so proud of what we've achieved. I think Graham Arnold, I don't think he will stay, but I think he leaves on his terms. I think Football Australia should be doing everything they can to try and keep him. But I think he's put everything into this World Cup, and I think he walks away as, you know, a very, very successful coach. I think the Aussies did brilliant. Socceroos, they should be so proud. And we should be so proud of them, I reckon.
And you can tell by the competitive nature, though.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to lose. And you know, all those people, you know, at the live sites throughout Sydney and Melbourne and the scenes, it's created something special for football here in Australia. Absolutely.
Well, he's gone from, I think for Football Australia, he's gone from, not making the World Cup to getting FA $14 million or something. And that might be US, I think, for getting to the knockout stage of the World Cup. So if I'm Football Australia, I'm going to Graham Arnold, bowing down in front, making him a very good offer, 100%. Saying thank you so much for what you've done for this side and the country.
And sorry for doubting you.
Sorry for doubting you.
Yes.
Here's this big offer. We'd love you to stay on to USA in 4 years' time.
Agree. And Graham Arnold would say, thank you very much. I've had a wow of a time. Take care. I'm out of here.
I hope he stays on.
Remember, he's doing the younger crew as well. So he's doing the Oliveroos as well.
He's done for nothing, by the way.
Yeah, he's across the board in terms of coaching.
Oh, look at this. England and Senegal about to walk out there.
Who are you going for, Mitter?
I'm going for a penalty shootout. That's what I'm going for.
I walked in
this morning going, it's a penalty shootout kind of.
And then who are you going for in the penalty shootout?
I do want England to win because I want to see England-France in the quarterfinal.
Wouldn't that be good?
That would be enormous. So, for the sake of the next game of the World Cup, I do want England to win this.
Okay.
But I want it maximum drama. Absolute maximum.
I actually can't believe that's just come out of your mouth, that you want England to win, but we'll leave it there.
Well, on that, by the way, the test match over in Royal Pindi, Bazball test match here, Clarkie, it's set up for a fantastic final day after England made 657. And they did
in
that...
In one day?
They did that in 101 overs.
Yeah.
They made 506 on the first day.
Yeah.
England, 506 on the first day. Joe Root, the only one not to make 100 in the top five.
Yeah, they control.
Incredible. And Pakistan came back and made 579. They went at 3.72. So, you know, pretty standard, probably above standard as far as run rate's concerned. Then England came out and made 7 for 264 to clear, but they've done it in 35.5 overs. So they've gone at 7.36 and over. And they've declared at tee on day four and set Pakistan 343 to win. So all results possible. And Pakistan, after 20 overs in the final session yesterday, are 2 for 80. So heading into the final day, needing 263 with 8 wickets in hand.
I'm saying Pakistan will win that test match.
Well, Azhar Ali's retired hurt, he had to go and have x-rays. He got hit in the finger by Ollie Robinson.
This is what I love about having that aggressive mindset where you're not, you're willing to risk losing to try and win. So when I look at this, I would say generally on the last day, if you're chasing 343 in the last innings, you're safe to declare, you're back in the bowling team, and it's either at best a draw or the bowling team wins. But in these conditions on this pitch, it's an absolute belter, lightning fast outfield. I actually reckon Pakistan are the favourites to win this test match. So, respect to England to declare and try and get a result. They've come out and said, we're not here to play for draws. We're here to either win or lose. So, respect that they've done that. But you lose this test match. Let's see if you're making the same decision in the second test or the third test. It seems like a lot of runs. 340-odd on the last day or in the last innings. But, mate, I'm telling you now, the way this game's gone, Pakistan in their own backyard, know the conditions so well, they will be disappointed if I don't chase these. There you go.
Bubba is arms out. That's the one thing I think tips it in England's favour.
What about this one, though? Joe Root faces up left-handed. He's obviously he's taking the piss. He's so bored.
You're kidding.
He's facing up left-handed.
I haven't seen this. This is incredible.
Yeah.
No, we're just watching this in the studio. So Joe Root has faced up. So hang on. Does he have to tell?
Does he have to tell
the umpire, doesn't he?
What happens there?
Pre-delivery?
I think if you start.
Because he started that. Well, he hasn't switched.
Yeah, if he started as a left-hander, then opposition can change the field. So he's a left-hander. So the bowler can stop. Captain can set the field for a left-hander. That's not a switch hit.
No.
That's actually facing up left-handed.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's fantastic.
But it looks like to me he's just said every ball he's spinning. If he's right-handed, every ball is spinning away because there's a leg spinner bowling.
Yeah.
So I'm hitting the ball with the spin. Mm. So instead of me wasting my time, turn around, switch it, I'm just going to start there.
Yeah, okay.
But they didn't change their field. Pakistan kept, I think they had a man at slip for a right-hander. He stayed at leg slip when Joe Root turned around left-handed.
Yeah, he did too.
So, but yeah, the captain's entitled to change your field, definitely.
Did you ever do that?
Mate, I can't. I was hard enough for me batting right-handed. I couldn't do left.
That's the one. That's great. Yeah, he stayed at leg slip.
It's amazing, though. Like, that looks natural. He just plays a normal sweep shot, left-handed sweep shot.
Looks normal. He nearly got caught at
what would have been cover.
Just
in front of square, yeah.
Headline on the back page, we've discussed Paddy Cummins, but the headline back page of the Herald as well, Cummins is a good chance for Adelaide.
Well, he said he's fit. He said he'll be fine. Going on the vision doesn't look like he's going to be fine,
well,
but maybe.
Why would you play? Second test against the West Indies. We've got a big series coming up against South Africa.
Good call.
What we've got ahead in the next 12 months. Why would you risk him?
More to the point, why would he be on the field on that last day? Like, he chases one ball and does more damage to his quad.
Yeah.
He could be out for the summer.
Yeah, well, I don't agree. Maybe
it is the smallest of niggles, but it didn't look like that when he was running.
Mm.
So I couldn't work out why he went back out onto the field. I don't know why. Even if you're captain, that's where you need strong leadership around you. You need the coach. You need the physio. You need the team doctor, strength and conditioning. Go, Paddy, we understand you're captain. We understand you want to be on the field. We understand there's a test match to win here. But I think right now Australia's going to be okay. I think Steve Smith knows what he's doing. We're in a very, it's extremely unlikely we're going to lose the test match from where we are. Let's do everything we can to get you fit for the second test match. Or more importantly, let's make sure you're 100% ready for South Africa, because that's going to be even harder. So I couldn't work out why he went back out onto the field.
So two parts about that, Clarkie. Does it mean that our management crew aren't strong enough yet? Is it player power taking over? I think
we've already seen with Paddy Cummins, it's his team.
Yeah.
No one's going to tell him what he can and can't do. And I think yesterday's probably another example of that.
Is he a bit worried about Steve Smith taking captaincy? Are we getting that fickle type thing? You know what I mean?
I don't know. The other thing, he might have just felt like there's absolutely nothing there. I'm going to be fit for the second test. So I know what I'm doing. I'll be fine. But even if he did that, he probably should have went to slip. So he didn't have to run at all, just to be extra safe.
We used to have a call if you had an injury, it'd be stock standard, tell the press 1 to 3 weeks, you know what I mean? Yeah. But these guys have got, what, a 3-day turnaround?
Thursday.
I can't see him.
If you go on how he ran when he chased those couple of balls, it's impossible for him to play the second test
match.
Can't
be playing.
What about, could he do the, Malcolm Marshall had the six-step run-up, didn't he, at one stage there, into the very end?
Oh, man, well, that's the thing. I'm telling you, playing a game unfit for Australia is, no matter who you are, no matter what your job is, your role is way worse. Mate, you look at Scott Boland. what did he get? 7 for 6 or 6 for what?
Look who's waiting
in the wings for an opportunity. If Paddy Cummins is not 100% fit in this second test against the West Indies, no way should he be stepping on that field.